know what really makes us mad? Is wasting money on CDs with only one or two good songs.
Yeah. Tell them about punk!
What's up, posers?
Welcome to Punk Lotta Pod. I am your co-host, Justin Hensley.
And I am your other co-host, Dylan Hensley.
And I don't know if there's anything else to even say, but we're recording this January 7th, which is a day after the attempted white supremacist insurrection in Washington, D.C. Just that, for context's sake, I always like to throw that out there. 2021, not off to a great start, but... We got a great episode for you. We have Lexi and G from the band Susie True, and their new album Saddest Girl at the Party came out last year on Get Better Records. This is a really fun conversation. And what are we talking about today, Dylan?
We are talking about the year 1996 and the album Reject All American by Bikini Kill. This is not our first, we've touched on Riot Girl. But this is one of the big two, I guess I'll say, that we have been hoping to talk about on the show at some point and hasn't happened yet. So I'm really excited that we got to do it. And of course, you know, all of the usual tangents on 90s music.
Yeah, what was the other Riot Girl bands we've done before? We did Luna Chicks, and then what was the other one?
I would know their name. If you hadn't just said
Babes in Toyland.
That's right.
That's what we've covered. Which were both kind of like, I don't know if they even fully embraced the term Riot Girl even. I don't think Luna Chicks did. Maybe Babes in Toyland did, but...
Yeah. They certainly weren't directly tied to the Olympia music scene, which is pretty important to what you classify as Riot Girl.
Yeah. It's a really good conversation. I'm very happy we got to talk about this record. And, enjoy the show. You can follow us on all forms of social media. We're on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at PunkLottoPod. We have a website. It's PunkLottoPod.Simplecast.com. And our email is PunkLottoPod@gmail.com. Our voicemail line is 202-688-PUNK. Call us and leave us a voicemail if you'd like. Enjoy the show.
Color, and do you want my number? No, I'm not your fantasy. That's something I'm
my notes pulled up. Did anybody take extensive notes?
Oh, I took some notes. I have to, though, because I'll forget everything. I'm really bad with song titles and stuff, so I'll definitely have to write some stuff down.
Yeah, I am too.
I need to pull up the track listing. I think I'll remember.
Dylan never takes notes.
I took a lot of notes last time. I was not as successful this time with taking notes, but...
He wings it 90% of the time.
We sound the same.
It's like, I'll remember.
Okay. It sounds fine.
I'll totally remember what I thought for 2 seconds in the middle of this one song.
Oh, that sounded cool. That's a lot of my notes in my, the song parts. It's just like, oh, that riff's cool. I'm like, how am I going to remember what that riff was,
you know,
2 days later? Why don't you each introduce yourselves and tell everyone what your role in the band is?
I'm Lexi, and I sing and play bass.
Hey, I'm G. I play guitar and occasionally sing and do other various things for said band.
Awesome. I did that specifically so the listeners could know who was speaking whenever the conversation's going. But thanks for doing the show. How was everyone doing? Besides, as we're recording, this is the day after the white supremacist attempt at taking down the Senate. I don't know what they were going to do.
Yeah.
I don't think we knew either.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've definitely just been in a constant doom scroll thing. It's fucked. Everything feels really bad, really fucked, but I'm happy to be doing this and to, not think about that shit for a minute.
We're a week into this new year, and it's already looking worse than last year.
Yeah.
It's not great.
Yeah, we won't dwell too much on this, considering by the time this episode goes up, it'll have been 2 weeks since it happened. So maybe in 2 weeks something worse happened. Who knows? But
and once got to show itself up, of course.
Yeah. Like, I don't want it to be like, I can't believe they're still talking about that whenever, this awful thing happened 2 days later. Like, oh, great.
Yeah.
They blew up Joe Biden at the inauguration.
Oh my god.
I really hope that they do not do a public inauguration and do a very private one, but
yes. Jesus.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, that bummer topic. Let's talk about Susie True. So, you've already introduced yourself. You recently put out your first full-length album, Saddest Girl at the Party. It came out on Get Better Records, and I wanted to say how much I enjoyed the record. It was on my best of 2020 list. I don't know if that list got part of that list got published yet, but I love the record. It's a really great record.
Thank you so much.
How's the response been for it? I know 2020 was a really weird year to release music, but
yeah, it's been really great. I'm really thankful to Get Better Records and all the work they put in to help us get it out there, and because they have a great team and a great platform, and they've been really awesome to us. So I don't know. I've been really, just the fact that that there's people out there in the world that I don't know who are not my friend who have listened to it is just who like it is just always just means a lot and is kind of mind blowing. So I'm really happy with the how it's been received.
That's great. How did you get set up with Get Better? I love what they do too. This year's was good for them. Last year was great for them. They're a really, really exciting label to be putting out music right now. So how do you get set up with them?
Well, I've been a fan of them for years. The band I used to be in was called Bearcats, and we put out a song on a big compilation that they did for a fundraising compilation. So I had always been a big fan, and then we put out our EP on a label called Buzz Records. It's based in Canada. And we were going to put out our album with them, and then they got outed as being abusive, fucking abusive, and just shitty people, which obviously we didn't, weren't aware of. And I'm really glad that people came out and came forward about them, because that's really fucked up, obviously. And so we, you know, obviously decided we weren't going to put out our album with them. And then Get Better messaged us and was just like, hey, like, if you need any, you know, help with anything, let us know. And I was like, well, we have an album. If you want to put it out. And then, yeah, they did. And it was awesome. And it's like a dream come true because I'm fucking obsessed with that label.
Well, it's definitely an upgrade because, to be honest, I've never heard of Buzz Records. So
yeah, I mean, they have some great artists, or they had some great artists, right. Should I say. Like, Pony was on their label, and a lot of artists I really admire. So to me, I was like, oh yeah, I'm like super excited to put my music out on this label. Like, artists I love are on it. But yeah, they really, like, I think, obviously, we're in LA, so we didn't really know what was happening. But in Canada, they were already kind of getting, like, pushed aside because people were like, yeah, these people suck.
Yeah, that's really disappointing. You know, it seems to keep happening over and over and over again. What fucking what's his name from Beachlang this week just got outed as an emotional abuser, I guess, is the main thing he's been accused of. But who knows? It could be worse. But yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you're in good company now, so Get Better's excellent.
Yeah, I couldn't have worked out, like, any better.
So, was the record recorded this year, or was that last year?
It was recorded
a long time ago.
Well, now that feels like even long, because it was recorded in 2018.
I know, considering each day feels like a week long.
Yeah.
It would be 20 years ago that was recorded.
Yeah, about 20 years ago.
What are the dog years?
Yeah. Oh wow, 2018. Wow. That's cool.
Mm-hmm. And so, 2019.
Yeah, so bridged the gap there, yeah. Mm-hmm. Who did we talk to recently? We talked to Sam Yield, who is on Elise from Motionator's record label.
Ooh.
On the previous episode that's not out yet, so do that math. But he said that he was working on his album for like years. So like there were pieces of that record that were recorded like years ago, so it's definitely not unusual to take a while to put something out that you've been working on.
For sure. And we had, like, a lot of hurdles also. We're going to hopefully start recording our second album in the spring. And I'm like, I just want to record it, get it out. None of this dilly-dallying.
Yeah, well, we do love to dilly-dally. Mm-hmm.
So, I know you shot some videos during quarantine, right? Have you been able to really get together in, like, the same room since then? I know it's kind of been difficult for a lot of people, but...
So, we made one music video over quarantine where we all, like, quarantined individually and got tested and, you know, planned it. It was much easier to do because at the time I wasn't working and G works from home and our drummer wasn't working because that was, like, in the summer. So now, like, we all work. G is the only one that works from home. So we haven't really been able to get, well, LA's in a lockdown right now, but we haven't been able to get together really because it's like, I'm at work working with the public every day. So if I get tested and get my result, like, it just doesn't, so we haven't been able to see each other besides just like over, obviously over Zoom, or like if we're dropping things off to each other, like with our masks on outside. We haven't seen each other in a while. It fucking sucks.
It does really suck.
I want to, we haven't been able to practice. Like, I want to fucking practice. It really sucks, but we're trying to figure it out in the next few months so we can, like, finish writing and so we can get ready to record.
Yeah. Have you even attempted any? I don't know how that would work with, like, a lag, but, like, have you even attempted, like, a digital band practice? Is that even possible? Like, I know the timing's got to be way off.
I mean, if the rock star is possible, probably. Do we care enough to try? Probably not. But...
Oh yeah, that movie is so
with
wrong.
Rainn Wilson, it's so wrong in so many ways, but I love it. Yeah, I mean, we haven't tried anything digital practice wise, but we have been sending each other demos, which works, I think, better because it gives us time to sit on it, think on it, listen. Yeah.
You don't have that, like, oh, sorry, let me try that again. Like, you can just send the actual, like,
I know,
finished line.
Exactly.
You could practice it and think about what you're doing instead of just going for, like, well, I'll do a little pentatonic thing, I guess.
Guess I'll be stressed out and play this instead. Yeah. Definitely. I do appreciate having time to think about what Lexi writes and then coming up with something.
Yeah. Are y'all familiar with that band, Meet Me at the Altar?
Oh yeah, we love them.
This is so
They were talking about like how they started as an internet band, and like because they were all in different states. I think one was Florida, one was Georgia, one was like New Jersey or something like that.
Wow.
And just like the idea of like practicing, I think the way they said it was they practiced. So unless they had like some super robust like internet service, I don't know how that worked at all. But
that's true.
Oh, you mean not our Spectrum Wi-Fi?
during the coup? Yeah. You guys stopped practicing.
Well, hopefully all this, we can get some of these vaccines out and we can start doing shows again in 2021.
Oh, yeah.
Gosh, I hope so. I really do.
I guess now I can ask the basic, like, beginner interview questions. How did y'all meet and, like, get together, start playing together?
Yeah. I don't know why I'm laughing. I started Susie True before I moved to L.A., but I never played any shows. It was just me and like my ex-boyfriend was kind of helping me with like recording stuff and doing guitar. And then I moved to LA and I met Sarah, who is our drummer. And my ex-boyfriend was helping and playing guitar for a little bit. And then we had someone else play guitar for a little bit for like a month or two. And then that's how we met G, because we played a show with her excellent band, Punk Crush. And I was just, like, hypnotized by her. And then we became friends. And so when we were looking for a guitarist, we just posted, you know, if anyone's interested. And Virginia, who's in the background, was like, I think she would be interested. and that's how G joined. And that was, what, 2018?
Yeah. And then we immediately started recording. It was really funny because I was walking around with a Susie True pin from that show for like literally months, and people would be like, hey, Susie, what's up? And I'm like, stop talking to me. I don't like it. But yeah, and then that post happened, and it was just really lucky because I didn't see it. Like she said, my roommate mentioned it to me and my bandmate, and then things kind of fell together. It was really funny because I remember she was like, oh, are you interested? Here's everything I've ever written in a year. I think I'm in it. I'm not sure. I haven't actually met her yet, but it sounds really cool.
It's so hard because, like, it's like it's the first time we played together, I was like, never leave. You're perfect.
Like, she locked the door.
You. Yeah, I locked it. No, I just was like, how? It's such like a weird thing to like have to go about doing because I'm like, I don't.
Yeah,
like, I want to be like, please be in my band. You're the best, but I don't want to scare you away by being too intense. But yeah, never leave me.
I need you.
I need you.
The proper amount of intense for our first meeting. And then after that, we just hit the ground running.
Well, that's awesome. Is the full band on the first EP as well?
No, the first EP is me and Sarah, and then my ex is playing guitar, my ex-boyfriend. Okay.
I was wondering if that, because I listened to that EP today, because I'd been listening to the album since it came out, but then I listened to the EP, because it's like, what's the early stuff sound like? So, and I could tell it was a very different sounding project at that stage, but.
Yeah, it was. I think I always, like, what we sound like now and what the album sounds like is what I always wanted us to sound like. That EP definitely went more in, like, a pop direction, which, like, I'm happy with it, and I still like it and everything, but. That's why I was so antsy to get our album out. Because I'm like, I want people to actually hear what we sound like now. Because the EP just isn't, like, you know, a proper representation.
It's really funny, it's really funny playing shows. And then people are like, they come up to us after and they're like, you are not what I expected you to sound like at all. And we're like, surprise, album's coming out sometime in the future.
Yeah.
But we don't know when. So this is a relief.
Yeah, it's definitely been those situations where I was, like, going to a show and, like, I was unfamiliar with, like, one of the bands and I listened to whatever, like, MySpace song they had up and and then seeing them live, you're like, oh, you're way better than I thought you were going to be.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
This is good.
So funny.
Well, the record is fantastic. I really love it. I cannot wait to see what you all come up with next.
Thank you.
Hopefully 2021 gets better and we can all start playing shows and going to shows. And
one can hope.
Yeah. So I guess we could get into the format of the show. So the basic premise of our show is we assign our guests a year, and then they pick one punk, hardcore, or emo record from that year. And we gave you the year 1996. Before we get into which record you picked, what are some other records that came out in 96 that you almost considered talking about?
Well, Pinkerton, the Weezer album, which I was obsessed with like in high school, but now realize it's extremely problematic. such a problematic album. And I fucking hate Rivers Cuomo. That song, Tired of Sex, is like, no, you're not. Maybe you're tired of masturbating alone in your room. Little asshole.
You know, I never got the love that record had. Even like the blue album I kind of get, because it had a lot of mainstream like attention and like radio play and all that stuff. But then like Pinkerton came out and it didn't do the same thing for the band, but it became this like, oh, it's a classic record. And I never got it.
I do think it was overhyped. I think the songs are fine, the melodies are good, whatever, but like definitely overhyped for some reason. Same with a lot of albums by white men. But yeah, when I was in college, I played in a Weezer cover band for Halloween, and we played all of Pinkerton. And that was fun. It was fun to play the songs, not gonna lie.
Which album's more problematic now? Is it Pinkerton still?
Probably.
I'm gonna say Pinkerton because of the overt sexism and predatory lyrical content.
I think the Blue album only has like one or two songs like that. There's one on there that I listened to it not too long ago to be like, what's going on here if it holds up? And there's definitely a song on there where I was just like, fuck you, dude.
I was making my boyfriend listen to the Red album the other day because he never had. I was like, it's so bad, please listen to it with me, it'll be fun.
For a band to be around as long as they have, they sure made some inessential music like throughout their career.
Yeah,
they sure made some bad decisions.
Still, I won't necessarily weigh in because I have gone off on Weezer plenty of times on this show and on Twitter.
There's never too much. Just saying.
Yeah, never too much. We love it.
I will say, yeah, Pinkerton. Again, I've never understood the appeal of it, and it's definitely the Weezer record that the worst dude you know loves.
Yeah.
So yeah, look, I was that dude
at one point. Look, I was 18 and loved Pinkerton. Look, I'm not gonna try to hide it. But you grow up, you learn some things, you move on.
Oh my god.
It's funny. The other like big record of that kind of similar vein is Modest Mouse. This is a long drive for someone, nothing to think about. And I always feel like they should have had like the attention that Weezer had during that time period. Because that record is great. I love that record.
Yeah.
I don't know what that dude, if he's weird, but I know he like.
There was a really. I remember hearing something about like a weird false accusation against him. And I think it was genuinely like totally unsubstantiated false accusation. Like the one time that actually happens. and he like, it really freaked him out. Weird from what I've read.
So that's tough. Really,
head trip.
But. I'm a pretty big Modest Mouse fan, but 1996 just seems to be the year where, like, the artists I liked released their other albums that I didn't listen to. So I'm like, okay, cool. I know a lot of these artists, but I'm not as familiar with the albums as I'd like to be, except for Pinkerton, unfortunately.
We almost chose Call the Doctor. The Sleater-Kinney album is really good.
That's my favorite Sleater-Kinney record.
Is it?
I love Call the Doctor and Dig Me Out. I think those are probably my two favorites.
Ugh, Dig Me Out's probably my favorite. So, bummer. Yeah. How do you like their new stuff, actually? Curious.
So, I was really disappointed with the very last record. It's very different. It feels like a St. Vincent record, because I know she produced it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, who was the other artist that was going to produce it? There was someone else.
I don't recall, but yeah, I remember being super excited to hear that St. Vincent was working with them, and then we heard the single, and we were like, uh-oh.
I just saw the photo of, like,
oh yeah, the butt.
The photo with Carrie's head backwards and the butt, and I was like, no, what? No, what is going on? This is such a bad graphic design choice.
As soon as that first tweet surfaced, we were like, oh no.
It's strange. I don't know what they were going for. Maybe the St. Vincent crowd? Maybe?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I enjoy everything they played live, including the newest album, so they always hold up live for me.
I would definitely go. I've not seen them live, but I think they were supposed to do like a big tour in 2020, and I was considering going to it. I can't remember who they were with. It was somebody else big, too. But I was still definitely considering going to see them, because even if I don't like that one record, they have a huge catalog of like fantastic records, so there's plenty to enjoy. There's a record on here I wonder if any of you have opinions on. So Texas Is the Reason put out Do You Know Who You Are in 96, and it's kind of like this. How would you describe like the reputation it has, Dylan?
It's I don't know that it has a big reputation, but most of the people I have encountered who like Texas Is the Reason really love Texas Is the Reason.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they have a really dedicated fan base.
What kind of music is it? I've never heard of that.
They're a Revelation Records emo band, if that makes any sense. So like it's mid 90s kind of like hardcore guys playing emo.
They're grouped in Midwest emo, but they have they have the harder edge of hardcore and post hardcore and whatever.
Oh, cool.
Kind of keeping like the Embrace, the Dag Nasty early Revolution summer kind of you know element, and bringing it.
Well, the reason why I asked is they're very much a band that I feel like only dudes like. So that's why I was curious.
Yeah, I've never heard of them. I'll definitely check it out.
Me either. I am living though for the little tags in the album, which are passionate, raw, energetic, melancholic, bittersweet, noisy, and then autumn. These are great.
Yeah, it's a good record, but I always wonder, like I said, it's really just other white dudes I know who love that record. So I'm curious to see what other people think about it.
I'll have to give them a listen.
Dylan, if you had to pick a record off this list, which one would you go with?
I'd be tempted to do something big that I'm not familiar with necessarily. Like, there's a Social Distortion record that I would be inclined to give a listen for the purposes of this show. But if I'm going with a record I really do know and really like, there's Converge. We can go heavy. Petitioning the Empty Sky, I think, is a killer record. I'm going to have to go back a page or two, because there was some interesting stuff that I saw that was kind of buried.
There's Propagandhi's Let's Talk More Rock. I would talk about that just for the two John K. Samson songs.
The Everything Sucks, the Descendants album, came out. I really love that album.
Yeah, that's like, is that the first? Yeah, it's the first comeback.
Yeah.
I think that's probably my favorite out of the comeback material.
Wow, this list is longer than I expected. Oh.
Yeah. Antichrist Superstar by Marilyn Manson came out, which was one of my favorite albums before Marilyn Manson got outed as a fucking abuser piece of shit. I fucking loved Marilyn Manson.
Braid's Age of Octane came out that year. I mean, it's a kind of a big year for, like, Christy Front Drive. Like, big year for emo, for sure.
This is the swell year, kind of the rising tide year for that style of emo and definitely third wave ska. Because 97, which we've talked about 97 a few times, and we've talked a lot about how there's tons of emo and tons of ska, like huge records in those genres in 97. So 96 is where a lot of that's building up. Good year for Christian punk too.
Hey, they have to have their time sometimes.
MXPX, Life in General, that's like the classic MXPX record. Five Iron Friends, we know this era very well as far as we grew up listening to exclusively Christian music when we were teenagers. So Five Iron Frenzy, Roadside Monument,
90-Pound Wuss.
Yeah.
I saw there was a lot of, like, my least favorite music of the 90s in 96, like Sublime, Pearl Jam's, and Soundgarden, and Stone Temple Pilots.
I mean, Alt 97's classic rotation.
Yeah, all the music my dad listened to when I was growing up that I truly despise.
I will say, though, shout out, I thought Danny would be super into this year.
Yeah.
Our drummer
loves Soundgarden and Stone Temple Pilots. Yeah. And oh, she was like, she really wanted to do that Presidents of the United States of America album.
Mm-hmm.
What's on that record? Is that got Lump on it? Or?
Yeah, I think it does, yeah. I saw her do that in karaoke once.
Oh, no.
She loves that album.
Wait, where was I? Rude.
Pre-G, I'm sorry.
Oh, I don't like that.
I know, I don't like it either. Look, I don't like it either.
Yeah, I guess this was like post Nirvana.
Mm.
The 90s is like mainstream rock is very weird because it's like it's grunge. Then there's like a punk explosion thanks to Green Day. And then there's like the ska thing. And then like whatever, like 98, 99 is, I guess, leading into nu metal and all that kind of stuff.
Mm.
It's just a very odd decade for.
Ooh. There's Fashion Nugget by Cake. I'm looking at the broader.
I would check that. I would consider that album personally. Mostly because I know it.
which ties very neatly into Justin's what was going on with alternative music, because that record is kind of all over the place, like country and funk and rock. And
I've not listened to that album.
There's that, even that, like, Butthole Surfers record. I think that's the one with Pepper on it.
Oh, dear.
I have not thought about Butthole Surfers since that was my life. I'm not okay with that. I would also consider the Slayer album, TBH.
The Slayer album?
Yeah, let's see. Undisputed Attitude, number 8.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that one.
Yeah, just up my guitar game a little.
Melt Banana, that band and the album that came out, I didn't write down what it's called.
It's it's like right here on my page. Where am I? Scratch or Stitch?
Yeah, I love that this became in just a discussion of 1996.
Yeah, everything. Yeah, it's I don't know. I'm fascinated by the 90s music because I can get some enjoyment out of almost all corners of it, even through the 2000s for a good extent too. But, we can get into our actual album that we're talking about today. So, we gave you 1996, and you picked Bikini Kill's Reject All American.
Society.
run through some stats on the record. And depending on what you consider a true record, this is either Bikini Kill's second or fourth album. It was released on Kill Rock Stars on April 5th, 1996. Bikini Kill are a riot girl band from Olympia, Washington, formed in 1990. This record was produced by John Goodmanson. And the person on this record is Kathleen Hanna on vocals, Toby Vail on drums, Kathy Wilcox on bass, and Billy Caron on guitar. So, kind of stats are out of the way. I always ask this. What made you choose this record to talk about today?
This is probably the album I was most familiar with and I had listened to the most times on the list of albums from 96. I went through a really big Bikini Kill, Riot Girl phase when I was in college. I mean, I still love it, but when I was in college, and my ex-boyfriend in college bought me the CD for my birthday, the Reject All American CD, and so I had it in my car and would just listen to it, like, over and over and over. Yeah, it's a really great album, and it's short. I love that how short it is, and every song is good. There's just, like, no extra fat or anything on it.
Gee, did you have any say in what record got picked, or...
Yeah, for me, it was between that or the Sleater-Kinney album, and I went with the one I didn't know as well. But upon my listens, I really liked it. It was a cool album. It was also a lot cleaner than I expected, production-wise, which was really interesting.
That's what is interesting about this album for them. That at first I didn't like it, like when I first heard it, and then it progressively grew on me.
You know, this is probably my favorite Bikini Kill record, and I think the production plays a big part in it, because like everything before this record, even the record before, the production is it's really rough, I guess that's the idea. Like people consider the very first album, which was a demo really, and they talk about that as a classic record, but it was always so raw that I couldn't get into it. It was definitely, I like the more cleaned up version of the band as far as I get more from it listening to it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that production it's from John Goodmanson, who also produced in 1996. This is crazy. He produced the Sleater-Kinney record called The Doctor. He produced the Team Dresch record that came out that year. He produced the Unwound record that came out that year and the Harvey Danger record that year. So like he was super busy.
Wow, he's busy. Yeah.
And like with Bikini Kill, Sleater-Kinney and Team Dresch, that's like the three big Riot Girl bands from like the 90s too that he worked on those records. So I guess he's kind of important to the sound of that as far as production wise goes. But
did you mention he did that Unwound record too?
Yeah, I just did that.
Oh, okay,
sorry. Is that the subtitle Unwound?
Repetition.
Are they Washington band too?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess I think they're all Washington bands, aren't they?
Yeah, because Unwound was from Olympia.
Oh.
Bikini Kill or Olympia. Where's Sleater-Kinney from?
They started in Olympia as well.
So, like...
Not that I know anything about them at all. Not that I'm a big fan.
Yeah, Team Dresch is Olympia as well.
Yeah.
Pretty much like the whole Kill Rock Stars roster.
Yeah. I wonder if it was just like word of mouth for John. That would be cool, Lexi. Just saying.
I wonder what does John Goodmanson work on now? I guess I should have looked into that.
In 2010, he did Hanson's Shout It Out.
Ooh.
That's John Goodmanson.
There was some other.
He's recorded a Wu-Tang record.
That's wild.
He gets around.
He gets around, really.
He did a couple of Death Cab songs, so that's probably more just like mixing.
He did a Weezer song, so cool.
I want to look at the most recent thing he's got listed on Discogs that he produced. Wolf Parade.
What's that?
He did with Simple Plan. He did maybe just one song.
I have to say this. He has a MySpace, and I've found it. And that's I'm not sorry.
He did
a Google search.
He did a Potty Mouth EP in 2015. That's pretty cool.
Oh wow! Whoa! Like
Ceremony Zoo. Okay, yeah. Potty Mouth's great.
Yeah,
that record they put out last year was really, really good.
Yeah, we're big fans.
this record. So it's the last Bikini Kill record. They didn't even do any EPs afterwards either. I think this was like it. I couldn't find a lot of reviews from the time period. I found two, and both of them mentioned that, like, Kathleen Hanna, most famous for punching Courtney Love.
Oh my god.
We always read like that in the 90s. Ugh, the worst.
I was like, oh.
Go back in time and punch all those fucking music critics. Like, so awful.
Yeah, it was like an Entertainment Weekly review and an Austin Chronicle review, who both mentioned the exact same thing.
The punching Courtney Love in the face, that cannot be her right to fame.
No, it's like, yeah, oh, you mean like one of the architects of the Riot Grrrl movement and one of the most influential DIY musicians of the decade? Sure, just punching Courtney Love. That's
getting to the meat of this, of it.
How does this rate for you? I guess you mentioned you weren't into it when you first heard it, but like, I guess compared to the rest of their discography, where'd you put this one?
Now it's up there probably as my favorite album. Like, I have other songs by Bikini Kill that maybe I like better, but as a whole, like, I agree with you. I do find it hard to go back and listen. I have to be in a mood to listen to those like super raw like demo recordings, because it's just a lot. Now I love it more than when I first heard it.
Gee, do you have a ranking for Bikini Kill records?
To be completely honest, picking it was one of the first times I'd listened to it. I'd actually never heard it before, which is why I went for that one. But just based on a couple listens, I really, really liked it, which is cool. But I feel like I'm really picky with my guitar production. If that sounds a little snobby, sorry. I really enjoyed how they mixed I really enjoyed the production on this, so I can see myself, you know, listening to this more often in the future.
Yeah, this is definitely, yeah, the production was always the thing that held me back in the first place from, like, the early material. Mm-hmm. Like, I admit, I didn't have, like, that younger Bikini Kill phase that a lot of people have. Mm-hmm. I don't think I had anybody in my life cool enough to tell me to listen to Bikini Kill at a formative time.
True, that was honestly Lexi for me, and I also did not have that, so I went into this kind of blind with, like, I mean, I knew their hits, but
yeah,
I didn't know much else than that.
When I was in high school, I like only knew the hits, and then when I went to look, I was a women and gender studies major. I tried to slip in my papers to make them about Riot Grrrl. And that's like when I really got into it, because I was like, well, if I have to write papers, I'm going to write it about shit that I like.
I think we all did that, though. Like, if you went to college, you definitely like snuck something in an article.
Oh yeah,
I dropped Dead Kennedys references in a history paper.
I was a music business major, so it was more appropriate for me to put in my punk references, but I was definitely the only one doing it, at least in my class.
Nice. I was also a music history major, so did I write extensively about Sleater-Kinney's Words and Guitar Song? Yeah. Which is why it's funny that you brought up like the record reviews, or just reviews in general from the 90s, because the only reviews I could find were awful. They were so awful. They were just like, these women think they can be loud and be famous, and would just shit on it, and I hated it.
Yeah, I did like a quick Google search to try and find reviews, and like every review was like written around the time of the reunion, or like
the reissues.
Reissue stuff.
Do you feel that the album was well received when it initially came out, or that it's kind of been more now people like it?
Mm.
If I had to guess based on what the little bit I read from that time period, it's probably more respected now than it was then. I mean, just the tone of those few articles I read was just like, ugh.
I know. I read one that was like, is this album great? No. But is it honest? Yes. And I was like, what?
What does that mean?
I don't know. It's like, it's definitely not my favorite album, but it's definitely one of the most honest albums.
But like, honest? I hate that shit.
Yeah, I really was like, fucking stupid.
I think it's hard to get a good sense of how it was received when it came out, because Bikini Kill, Kathleen Hanna had specifically tried to avoid media coverage, had called for a media blackout within the Riot Grrrl scene. So no one was really pitching their records. So it was probably the coverage that they got was just whoever decided to do it on their own, which it's interesting that people decided to write a review about it and not say anything good about it or boil it down to the corny love story.
Yeah. I wonder if there are some like Maximum Rock and Roll reviews from that time period, or like what are some other punk magazines from around that time? Heart Attack, something like that. I wonder if there's any reviews for that, but I don't know. I couldn't find any. I don't know if they digitized all that kind of stuff. Probably not. Yeah, I feel like, I would love to like find somebody who was like in the scene, like in Olympia.
Cool. A punk elder.
Yeah, and get their take on it, because that would be
pretty dope.
Dude, okay, we played a show, and this sucks because I don't remember the name of her band, but we played a show with Toby Vail's band that she's in now, or that she was in 2018. I don't know if she's still in it. At like Oakland Pop Fest, and I was just like watching her. I was like, it's like on Scott Pilgrim when Scott is like watching Ramona through the whole party. That was me. But I was just like, and I think I said to her like it was her drums that were backlining, and I was like, thanks for letting us use your drums, and that's it. That's all I said, because I was like, I'm not gonna say anything. But I was like, I don't know how to go about that. I want to like talk and know what her life was like, and like that's so sick. And to know like how was your album received when it came out? Like, I don't know. I guess you would have to do some kind of like interview or something, and not just be a weird person asking questions
at a show
before your set. Yeah.
Was it Girl Sperm?
No, it wasn't Girl. Because I feel like I would remember that name.
She was in the.
That's a pretty memorable.
Frumpies.
Wait,
wasn't
Girl Sperm is what comes up when I search 2018. But so okay, let me see. She may have had some, but I can't find another project that she was in.
I feel like you would remember if it was like the Julie Ruin or somebody. Like that. She wasn't in Julie.
Yeah, definitely was not that.
Time to search the archives.
Dang, yeah, I'm like trying to. Yeah, I'm trying to find it. I know our friend. Our friend in the band, Horrible Adorable, had Toby Vail sign her Tom on her drum. Just really sick and cool.
There's the spider and
Organ,
the orbs?
Morgan and the Organ Donors, I think.
Okay. Have they recorded anything?
Thanks. Or I don't know.
Maybe on Discogs, but it doesn't mean they're not something out there.
Huh. There's an EP on their Bandcamp from 2015.
I'll have to check that out. Yeah, I would like to know what people thought back then. Not so much the... Because I think I did see some reviews. They were like, it's not as good as the last record. So, I don't know.
Based again?
North Carolina, and Dylan's in Phoenix.
Okay.
We're brothers, so I grew up in North Carolina. So
yeah, oh, cool.
I've only been to Phoenix for
that makes me wonder about like keeping, I don't know, records about your own music, local music scene, you know? Because like what if kids 50 years from now are like, I wonder what Phoenix was like in 2020.
It's true. I totally think about that all the time with like my band that I used to be in was in Central California, and I helped my bandmate move, and she had a box of like all our band stuff, and it was all these show flyers, but from like 2013 or something. And I was like, I know this was only 7 years ago, but this feels historical. Like just for like local scene purposes. It's like, oh, is this band? Like, what are these people doing now? Like that were in these local bands.
We have a friend who does version of it. It's called Punks on Paper, and it's like a collection. It's a site that's just like all flyers and posters from like North Carolina shows. I think it goes back as far as the 80s and then into like today. So, yeah,
we know guys. I love that stuff.
It's so cool. I mean, there's so much stuff though that's like lost.
I know.
Like I once found like this cassette comp online. It was like made up of like 80s hardcore bands from North Carolina. Like Corrosion of Conformity was like the big name on there. But it was like the other bands from the state that were in the same scene. And it was a really cool looking comp because it's like got the Confederate flag burning on the cover. And it's just like all these like hardcore dudes in the 80s saying like, we're not rednecks. We're not, you know, we're not like the rest of the people in our state, you know.
Nice. That's awesome.
I love that. My old roommate is from Tucson, and she had like a record of like a garage rock compilation of Tucson bands from the 90s. I was like, this is so fucking cool. Like, I wish there was more stuff like that, or that I knew of it and could find it.
Yeah, there was a little bit of indie stuff in Phoenix. I know someone who was in like some kind of quiet, slow chorus type stuff. And there's a record store here in Phoenix run by a woman who was in a shoegaze band in the 90s. I can't remember the name of her band, but the record store is called Stinkweeds. But she's had some version of that store open since the 90s. Like, it's moved around a couple different locations. But
That's so cool. But
yeah, I mean, people talk about, you know, it's the big names from here, and that's about it. There's not a lot of good history recorded of what the indie DIY, you know, grassroots level scene was here.
I want to be a punk historian now. I want that to be my job.
Yeah, I feel like when shows come back, because I used to, like, whenever I would go to a show pre-COVID, I used to bring a handy cam everywhere and just record things. So I have all this footage for like 2 years. I'm like, I guess this can be useful someday. But definitely going to have that more now, I think. When shows come back.
That reminds me of something that I've thought about recently. I've noticed that even though people have a high definition camera in their pocket, essentially, I don't see people doing a good job of filming and recording bands live, which I think is interesting because it would be super easy. And I mean, there's definitely been like it's been discouraged for a long time for copyright reasons. And also just like, you don't want to be that annoying person who's standing there front and center holding their phone up the whole time. And I see people at shows do that all the time, but I don't see the footage.
I remember
being like watching footage of a band play in 2008 was like incredible to me. Like I might not have been able to go see that band. They never came anywhere near me, but I could sit and watch like this shitty recording that someone uploaded on YouTube, and I'm sure took like 4 hours to upload. They went to this effort to do it, and they probably filmed it with like, you know, an actual camera and maybe even had to copy it over from tape.
You know, who's really, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, Jeff.
I was about to say Jeff. We know an LA local named Jeff who has an Instagram called SoCal Rock Shows. And like he posted this DVD of Arcade Fire performing at Spaceland in 2004.
Yeah.
Like, cool ass shit.
Yeah.
And he's still like super active and records bands doing shows, like, you know, obviously pre-COVID. But yeah, I love that.
Yeah, I always felt like, I guess, like punk and DIY and like even indie music to an extent, like, has always done a really bad job of like keeping track of like stuff that happened. Like, it was definitely like always people trying to piece it together backwards, like after it already happened. It's just, I guess it's because that's like the immediacy of punk. It's more about like what's happening now so much. I don't know.
Yeah, I've read a couple of those books that are like there's a Riot Girl one, I think, that's pretty popular, of like history of Riot Girl. Or I have this one that's like the history of K Records and like that whole stuff. And it's really, I really like those books.
I guess we could talk more about this actual album. so like this album, Does it have any of the... what are the hits off this album, I guess is my question. Is it like, what, the first four songs? They're all pretty strong.
I was like also listening to the album and thinking the same thing. Like, what are the quote unquote, like, what would you say today are the single, you know, mm-hmm. the singles? Because I don't want to say the songs all sound the same because they don't, but they definitely, like, most of them are similar, like, besides the few slower ones.
Yeah, I think Capri Pants was like on a split with Team Dresh, maybe. It was like a tour split that they did. But I didn't really see much as far as like singles for the record, as far as independently, you know, actually pressed on like a record or a CD. I mean, if I had to guess, it'd probably be Capri Pants or maybe Jet Ski. Mm. Yeah, I guess there's not like maybe Reject All American itself.
Which is like my least favorite song on the album.
Did All American Rejects get their name from this album?
That is a great question.
Like the least Riot Grrrl band from the 2000s. Yeah, I mean, I love this.
Oh,
this.
I've always thought that they got their name from this record, but apparently. It was made from a mix of two suggestions, The Rejects and The All-Americans.
What? The All-Americans is like the worst band name I've ever heard in my life.
That is a pretty, yeah, especially in today's climate.
And The Rejects is a really bad band name too. It's like extremely obvious.
Yeah, there's probably like 400 bands that were called The Rejects at some point.
Or it may have been inspired by the song Reject by Green Day, which has a chorus that goes, "You reject all American."
But I could see Billy Joe referencing this album.
Right.
He seems aware enough of what was going on with music in the 90s.
I hope so.
Favorite songs on the record?
As I listen to it more, my favorite songs are like, I think maybe the slower ones. Like R.I.P. is like really, that's a really fucking good song. I mean, obviously everyone knows that Kathleen Hanna has like an amazing voice, and she's really good at like singing loud and projecting and like hitting these like crazy loud notes and going between like screamy and singy but loud. But I, now that I listen to it, I like where she kind of pulls back a little, because she doesn't do it often. I really like the song False Start, but I couldn't find who sings it. I couldn't find if it was Toby Vail or Kathy Wilcox.
I think it's Kathy. I looked that one up. I wrote down specifically who, because I found like a listing where it gave the who sang what. So Kathleen plays bass on that song. No, wait, that's Kathy sings on that one. Yeah, you're right. On Distinct Complicity and Four Only, Kathleen plays bass and Kathy plays drums. So like these, just weird. But I think Kathleen still sings those two songs.
Yeah, I really like the song False Start. I didn't realize it was Kathy. I kind of assumed it was Toby Vail. I really love that voice. I wish it was more of it on the album.
Yeah, that song has like a xylophone in it, right? Like,
yeah.
It's really poppy and really indie rock sounding. I thought it was probably one of the most unique songs. I mean, and like R.I.P. being one of the slower songs. And I want to say Tony Randall was kind of in the same lane.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite as dynamic as they're more known for being.
Yeah, I like those ones. I like Four Only. That was like one of my favorite songs. I really like it. I don't know. It just obviously shows a like diversity in songwriting that I feel like wasn't on any of their other albums as much. Which maybe they got shit for not being like punk enough, but I really like it.
I don't know. There's definitely like, I listen to this record and I get lots of like nods to older punk bands though. Like Capri Pants has like a Black Flag style guitar riff intro, you know? Like Jet Ski's got a little bit of a Ramones intro to it. I thought R.I.P. has like a Minutemen style like composition to it. Like I like that song a lot too. So they seem to be putting out there their like their punk roots. So it is a very different record. Like it's like lots of different sounds on this record.
I like the song No Back Rub a lot. Of like the more heavier songs, I think that's my favorite.
Yeah, that one was really great. That one, like that song and Capri Pants, I got a really strong Rocket from the Crypt kind of sensibility.
There's some
maybe
surfiness.
Like some X. There's some surf and there's some like Chuck Berry rock and roll riffs that I would not have typically associated with Bikini Kill.
Mm-hmm.
Like but I thought those were some of the definitely the better of the harder songs.
Yeah, sure.
G, do you have any, as the guitar player, do you have any moments that you
To be completely honest, I don't have any. I just need to listen to it more. I didn't have enough listen time for myself personally, but I liked all the guitar work on this. It was really great. So I'm excited to hear more of it.
I was curious, like, so when Bikini Kill came back, they announced that Billy was not coming back to play guitar. And I thought that was interesting. I never got like a reason though. Like,
yeah. Who did they have play guitar? Because I didn't really, once they came back and were playing shows, I kind of didn't follow it that much because I was pissed that concert tickets were so expensive.
Yeah.
I forget her name. She's
Erica Dawn Lyle.
Yeah, I'm not sure who she is, like as far as if she was from another band, but I had tickets to go see them for in August that was supposed to happen, but, you know, did not happen. I think, weirdly, tickets weren't that bad here. I think they were only like 35, 40. It's not too bad.
When they did the LA ones, where did they do the LA ones, G?
A really big venue, but they were pricey.
They were really fucking expensive.
Not the Forum, but it was like one of our larger venues for sure, and it sold out all three nights.
Yeah, I don't think
it was the Palladium.
Yeah,
that's where I saw Jawbreaker.
Oh, nice.
That's a weird place to see Jawbreaker.
That's a big place to see Jawbreaker.
Yeah.
Oh, like they were. Bikini Kill was going to play the Orange Peel here, which is like, Dylan, do you know any venues to compare it to? It's a smaller, it's like a mid-sized.
It's more mid-sized. More like, of a true mid-sized venue.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like smaller than a Fillmore usually is. Because like we got a Fillmore in Charlotte here. And it's
okay.
Probably about the half the size of a Fillmore. So I don't know. That'd be a really cool place to see them.
Mm-hmm.
That would be cool.
Remember, like Scalpers got a lot of those tickets too, right?
Yeah. And then we're reselling them for like, because those tickets for the Palladium were already like $60 or $60, $70 or something. And then Scalpers were charging like $300, like something like insane for them.
Yeah, I remember being a big deal on Twitter, like when that happened. Just a lot of people complaining at the venue itself for like allowing it to happen. I can't remember what they were. I don't know how you stop that though.
I don't know either. Like, how do you like prove you're a real fan?
I know.
You have to name three albums at ticket checkout.
When I used to go religiously to like big shows, I think something that venues would do is when they sell the ticket, you're not allowed to resell it, something like that. But I'm sure people found a way around that. But I feel like that's a possible way of stopping it, you know?
I've seen whenever I've bought tickets for like anything in like a stadium size venue, they're always, It always says, like, in the fine print that you're supposed to bring the credit card that you bought it with.
Right.
And, like, so that it's non-transferable. But when I go and they scan the ticket, no one checks the credit card.
Mm-hmm. Like,
you just walk right in. So maybe they use that to enforce it if they have reason to think that it's, like, definitely a scalp ticket. But I don't see the ticket takers at any music venues actually doing that.
Yeah.
True.
I've never really been to any big concerts, like maybe 3 or 4 in my life.
Well, now I gotta know, what were they?
For my 13th birthday, my mom took me to, I begged her to take me to see the Arctic Monkeys in San Francisco. And literally tickets were like $20. And it was at a mid-sized venue too. I don't remember which one. And then I saw Paramore at the Orange County Fair.
Of course.
And I saw Neutral Milk Hotel and the Breeders at the Hollywood Bowl.
Nice.
Oh, and I saw 311 and the Offspring at the California Mid-State Fair.
The Offspring and 311 are such fair bands.
At the time, I had a great time. My friend's dad got, like, free tickets on the radio or something.
Oh,
and
cool.
They, you know, I was so stoked. I bought a 311 t-shirt. I thought it was really cool.
Our buddy Grant from Bitter Melody Records got free tickets?
Yeah.
To see Smash Mouth. No, didn't he go see Smash Mouth? At, like, the Sheer Wine Festival.
Yeah, yeah.
At the what wine festival?
Sheer Wine.
It's a soda.
North Carolina-based soda. Yeah.
Okay.
So they have, like, a festival every year, and they got Smash Mouth to play it one year.
That's definitely a time.
He'll never be able to see Smash Mouth again because they're canceled now.
They are such a weird band. Like, sometimes they'll post, like, really cool stuff. Like, they get it. And then, like, other times they'll play Sturgis. Like, the motorcycle festival in a pandemic.
It's like, yeah, like, they were posting, like, pro BLM stuff.
Yeah. But
then, yeah, going and playing Sturgis. Super spreader event.
Yeah. Weird.
And, yeah, there was the whole throwing bread at them.
Yeah, that was funny. Here's some little, like, post Bikini Kill information that I learned. So, like, Kathy, Toby, and Billy would later play in a band called the Frumpies together, and then Kathy would also play in the Julie Ruin with Kathleen, and then Kathleen was also in Le Tigre, and she released solo music as well. But I found a really interesting note. Apparently Kathy is married to Guy from Fugazi.
Oh,
yeah. It's like, I kind of love that, like, two of the most, like, members from two of the most, like, DIY punk bands of the 90s are married to each other. Like, that's wild.
I know people give the Beastie Boys a lot of shit, but even Kathleen Hanna being married to the guy from the Beastie Boys just warms my heart. It's cute.
You know, I think ultimately the Beastie Boys are on the right side of everything, so, you know.
Yeah.
They never did anything that was super, like, what the fuck?
Yeah. I know in her documentary, she talked about how she didn't want to, like, come out and say that they were together because people would be, like, criticize her for it or something. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, Beastie Boys are super mainstream, and Bikini Kill is very DIY, but who cares, really, ultimately.
Yeah, Beastie Boys have some sexist lyrics.
Yeah.
Oh,
part of that genre though too. So I don't know.
Yeah,
in the 80s, you know, I don't know. Let's see. I'm gonna make sure I got everything in my notes. I guess anybody have any final thoughts on Reject All American?
5 out of 5 stars.
You're approved.
I fucking love that it's like 26 minutes long.
Oh yeah. I listened to it twice, like 2 days in a row, and both times I was like, oh yeah, this is perfect length record for me.
I love a short album.
I do too.
Especially for a 90s record.
Yeah.
Because that was the we got 50 minutes to fill? Okay.
Yeah, that was definitely the that was the CD era too, where everybody used the full hour 20 that you could put on a CD. Like, even if you didn't have enough music, you put a bonus track hidden at the back of the album just so you used up all the space. But I guess Bikini Kill is also still very much a vinyl band, so that goes into your DIY roots there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love this record. I'm so glad that you picked it, because it's my favorite Bikini Kill record. And I'm glad you picked it, because we've yet to fully dive into Bikini Kill on this show, which is irritating. Mm-hmm.
We keep hoping someone will pick a Riot Girl band, like Slater Kinney or Bikini Kill, and no one does.
Who was it we talked to that was like, well, I didn't want to be obvious.
Susan from Faye,
which is a Charlotte band. She was like, I didn't want to be obvious. And I was like, I would have rather talked about a Slater Kinney record than, I don't know. We talked about Refused, I think. So that was a good one.
Yeah, that was a good episode.
Well, awesome. I guess that will probably do it for the show. Where can everyone buy your music? I know Get Better.
Yeah, Get Better Records Bandcamp. Yeah.
Yeah, I supposedly have a tape on the way.
Oh, cool.
Yay.
With the post office. Who knows when that'll actually get here. But
oh, yeah. I know. Mine still hasn't got here.
Yeah. And we like to ask everyone at the end of the show to shout out any charities or nonprofits or like mutual aid programs that they personally like to contribute to. So do you have any that you'd like to mention?
Yeah, I definitely need to do more research on organizations, especially mutual aid. We've been donating like $2 from our merch sales to For the Gwarls, which is like a organization that helps fund trans housing for trans people and gender affirmative surgeries. So definitely a fan of them.
Cool. I'll put a link for that in the show notes.
Everything.
And I think that will do it for us. Thanks so much for doing the show. This is a lot of fun.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks so much.
And everyone else, go out and buy Susie True's new record and whatever comes out next.